Mishnah says in the Froim Min Hodam, Midatai Vishla Midatai, that a person should avoid committing sins Chas V'Shalom, because there are times when they take payment from a person when he's aware of it, and Chas V'Shalom, there are times when Hashem makes the person pay and the person's not aware of it. This is the pshat in how we learn, normal pshat in learning this Mishnah. Rabbi Nizal said, Ki shamati b'shem Baal Shem Tov, I heard in the name of Baal Shem Tov, Ki koidim kol gzadin shabaylam chas v'shalom, that before Hashem makes any evil decree, not an evil decree, a harsh decree in the world, chas v'shalom, ma'asvin kol ha'ilam, Hashem gathers together the whole world and checks with them, im maskimim lahadin ahu, and the whole world has to give a haskama, has to give an okay on this judgment. And even the person himself upon whom this harsh decree is being decreed, they ask him also if he agrees with the penalty that's being inflicted or with the punishment that's being given out. And that's when the Gemar Din is issued. That's when the Din is signed and sealed. Only after having checked with the whole world and even the person himself. The Ho'inyon, Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki bevadai imi shaloi befeir shalatzmoi, bevadai yakhish v'yoymar she'en adin kein. If a person were ever asked about something that he himself did, do you think that you were wrong in doing this or not? Do you think that you should be punished for this or not? A person would certainly say no. Because generally, a person, Adam Korav Etzalat Smadilamar says, a person is a Megabadavar. When it comes to him himself, generally, a person is very, it's very difficult for a person to judge himself properly or to judge himself objectively, the same way he would judge another person. Rabbi Nizal says, Ach matinoisoi, they trick the person, v'shoyalinoisoi al-kiyotzei boi. They ask the person about a similar example to himself. V'hu poisek hadin, and this person issues a psak din, he states what his opinion would be in such a case, v'azai mikmar hadin. And that's when the din is sealed upon him himself. And Rabbi Nizal gives some examples. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ukeinyan shemotzino b'David Hamelech olav shalom," as we find by the case of David Hamelech, "Bavoy elov noson hanavi." The Navi tells us the story that David Hamelech was once walking on top of his roof. He saw a woman bathing. This was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah Hitti. He took her as a wife. He had relations with her. The Gemara says then she returned home. She became pregnant. She sent a message to him that she was pregnant. And the Navi tells us that he went. He called her husband back from the army, and he came back. David HaMelech told him, I want you to go to be with your wife. His reason for telling him this was because he hoped that in doing this, it could be hard to identify whether the child came from a second person or possibly from her being with her own husband, Uriah Hitti. And yet the Navi tells us that he disobeyed David HaMelech. He disobeyed an order of the king. That's one item. Plus, he spoke disrespectfully to the king, because he mentioned in front of David HaMelech, he called Yayav Adoni Yayav, which was a disrespectful item. So he was mechuyev to get a death penalty regardless, but the Navi tells us that David HaMelech had him killed. How? He sent a message to Yayav to put him in the front lines at a time when it looks like there's no chance of the people in the front line surviving. He would be killed, and in this way David HaMelech would be able to take his wife, Bathsheba, to himself as a wife. This is what happened. The Navi tells us the story. And then the Navi says that Hashem sent Noson HaNavi with a message to David HaMelech. What message? Noson HaNavi came into him and he told him, I have a shayla for you in halacha. You're David HaMelech, you're a paisik. The Gemara tells us that David HaMelech paskim shaylas pertaining to women, pertaining to other things. He told him, I have a question for you. There was an incident whereby there were two people who lived in a city. One was very wealthy, one was very poor. The wealthy one had big flocks of cattle and sheep and everything. The poor one just had one little sheep. That was his whole wealth. And this is what he kept. He treated this sheep like his own daughter. That's how close he was. He fed her. She slept on his lap and everything. So close. One time, this wealthy person was taking a guest into his home, and he needed food for the guest, and he had rachmanis on his own cattle and everything. He didn't want to waste one of his own animals. So he went to this poor man, and he took his sheep, and that's what he used as food for his own guest. what do you say, David HaMelech? And David, the Navi tells us that David HaMelech went into a rage and he said, this person should be killed, number one. But before you kill him, first make him pay four times as much. He should pay four sheep for that one that he took. Why? Because he did such a disgusting evil act. This is what David HaMelech said. Nasanavi told him, you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about you. Here you're a king and you have a lot of wives and everything. Little Uriah Hachiti had one wife. You had nothing better. You had to go to him to take his wife away. You couldn't, if you were looking for an additional wife, you go out to how many girls available. Why did you have to take his wife? And he told him, because of this, I want you to know that you're going to be punished. The Navi tells us that as soon as David HaMelech was told that he committed a sin, David HaMelech wasn't like other Mishigoyim, where you tell a person something, first he gets insulted, and it takes him a few days to brood over what you told him. As soon as Nosna Novi finished what he was saying, David HaMelech said, Chatosi Lashem, I sinned against Hashem, I realize I did something wrong, and I'm very sorry. And immediately Nosna Novi told him, you should know that you're going to live, you're not going to die, but Hashem is going to punish you. You're going to suffer some tragedies in your own house because of the fact that you did this item that was incorrect. This is the story. So Rav Enizal says, here you see an example where he's asked, the person is asked to give a verdict on a case similar to his own, and whatever verdict he gives out, that's the judgment that's placed upon him, because Rashi HaKodesh tells us in Novi that what happened to him, the fact is he said four sheep for one. That's why four children of his, Chas V'Shalom, had tragedies occur to them. One was Avshalom, then you had Amnon and Tamar,
and the baby that was born dead.
Exactly. In other words, the baby, when she was pregnant, when Bathsheba was pregnant that time, the baby that was born died right away, became sick right away and died right away. And then the three other children were Amnon, Tamar, and Avshalom. So we see that David HaMelech suffered four tragedies, Rachmana Litzlan, children, because he had paskin the halacha on himself. So now Rabbi Nezal says, and Nosanovi told him the story about the guest coming to the wealthy man. And David HaMelech spoke up and he said, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem's name that he's guilty. He deserves to be punished tremendously. V'eshakavsan, about the sheep that he took, he should pay for it instead of it. Azai nifsak hadin al David kashe yotze mipiv. And the Navi tells us that the Psak Din came out against David HaMelech just as he had decreed upon himself. And Rabbi Elazar says, "Vezehu, this is Pshat in the Mishnah, v'nifroin min ha'odom midaitai, that they, Hashem accepts punishment, payment from the person with the person's consent. Kleimar she'shoyalin datai, meaning that the person is asked his consent. He's asked for his consent on the Psak Halacha, on the Din. And although it's with its consent and it's with his knowledge, on one hand it's without his knowledge. Rabbi Nezal says, Kleimar shesheyal in datoi, they ask his opinion, Vafal pikein hu shalemi datoi, and still it's without his knowledge, ki eino yedea shehadin hu olav, because at the time that he's being asked, he's not aware that he's passing judgment on himself. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'ho'inyan hu amuk ma'oid," and this is a very, very deep item. Eich she'al in kol adam. Hashem has millions of Jews to deal with. How does Hashem work it out on a constant basis that a person is being asked every single time before Hashem inflicts a penalty on a person? The person is asked, and the person must consent to whatever penalty he's going to receive. Imagine what type of coordination, kaviyachol, this takes on the part of Hashem to work out circumstances whereby this thing happens. Ki b'chol hadiburim v'ho'inyin hu amuk ma'id eshon kolonim. Ki b'chol hadiburim v'sipurim shonam shemeya. Rabbi Nezal says, in all the words and these stories that a person is told, he listens to, there are very, very high, exalted items that a person hears just in his normal conversation with people. There's constant secrets going on from heaven whereby people are telling him things and he's replying, and there's all types of secrets as to why they happen to be telling him these things and why he reacts in a certain manner. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ki b'chol adiburim v'sipurim shalom shmei yimtza shem dvarim goyim rabim v'tzorech lizoyer bozeh ma'oid." And a person has to be extremely cautious, Livli Ligmar Hadin Ad Sheyishana Veshalish, never to pass judgment on a situation until he reviews it and a second time and a third time, to study a case very, very carefully before he passes judgment on any situation. Because Rabbi Nizal says this is so dangerous, a person can literally put his own life into danger, chas v'shalom, just with his own mouth. Rabbi Nizal says, v'hadvorim hatikim, and this item is extremely deep. Ki yesh boze binyan sipurei dvorim inyonim givoyim, because there are, in this topic of conversation, normal conversation that's carried on with a person each and every day, there are very, very high items. And this is another similar case to this. Rabbi Nizal brings as the case that's brought in the Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina ben Nisa came into Rabbi Yochanan and he saw Rabbi Yochanan was sick. And the Gemara says Rabbi Chanina told him, "Omal achaviv alach yisurin, do you like this suffering that you're going through now?" Omar Leis, so Rabbi Yochanan told him, "Loi hein v'loi scharon, I don't want them and I don't want the credit that you get for them. In other words, I really don't want it." The Gemara says, so he told him, Havli Yodech. Rabbi Chanina told him, "Give me your hand." And the Gemara says, Yohavli Yodech. He gave him his hand, V'ukme, and he stood him up. Rabbi Nizal points out, Kleimar, note what took place here. He told him, Im einato chofetz bohem, if you really don't want this suffering, then Havli Yodech, I'll say, give me your hand on it. Havli Yodech, I'll say, she'inato roitze bohem be'emes. In other words, when he said, give me your hand, he was taking a tkias kaf from him. That's what he was doing. Rabbi Nizal says he was telling him, shake on it. In other words, I want you to give me your most serious commitment that you really don't want this yisurin. And the Gemara says, azai yohiv le'yavim. He gave him his hand and he was able to stand him up. Meaning, Rabbi Nizal is giving another example whereby Rabbi Chanina was not able to take Rabbi Yochanan out of his sickness until he was able to get a super solid commitment from Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan felt that he should be taken out of this. Now, how exactly this took place and how it was related to Chas v'Shalom Gzar Din, we don't understand it. But Rabbi Nizal is giving an example. Note the wording here that he told him, what do you mean, Chaviv alach Yisroel? That's a ridiculous question. Nobody likes suffering. He asked him, he told him no, and that wasn't enough. He told him, Havli Yodech. Give me your hand on it. Shake on it. I want to shake on it that you don't want these yisurim. Then he gave him his hand and he took him out. Now note again that there's ayin panim atayra. There are many interpretations of what took place over there. Why he told him to give him his hand. We mentioned certain sayyidahs related to the asara mina negina, which is the whole concept of the yadayim, the betler who had no hands, who was able to cure with the 10 types of negina, because yad, the Yud stands for the 10 letters of the Mili of Yud Kevav Kev. The Dalit stands for the 4 letters of the Pashut, which is the whole concept of the Shofar, all types of Seidus that are involved. But factually, Rabbi Nizal here is saying a pshat in this Gemara, showing how any person, before there's any Gzar Din inflicted upon him, is asked his opinion. And depending on how he answers the question, depending on how he passes judgment, he affects himself. Therefore, Rabbi Nizal says a person has to be zechah to purify his dibur and to purify his zechah, to know, to watch what he's saying. Period. To know, to watch what he's saying.
How is he being tricked here to give a judgment on something else and it really applying to him by giving...
That we don't see here exactly. We don't see here.
But we just need something from him.
Exactly. We see that he was asked the question, Chaviv alach Yisurim, do you approve of Yisurim? He said, no. Lehen v'lechsam, I don't want them, I don't want the star. Yavli Yadin, he took him out. In other words, Rabbi Nizal gives two examples. One example where he didn't know about it. One example where he was supposed to give the strictest commitment, showing that he really doesn't want it. Period.
Does this mean theoretically a person could
be saved from all Gzar Din? 100%. As the Gemara says, Hachayim v'hamofes v'yad haloshem. Within a person's tongue is contained the whole power of life and death. Here, Rabbi Nizal is showing you how you bring everything upon yourself. The whole power, in other words, before they can do anything to you, you're asked to talk. You have to say verbally, vocally, what you want to suffer or not. Which means if a person were really a Baal Bos over his mouth, he could avoid many times a lot of his sword.
Then back to the Yochanan taking the hand.
Of Rechanina, right.
There's also a concept that a man can't cure himself
Right, that the Gemara says over there. No, the Gemara says, why did he have to do it? If the Gemara brings another story where Rabbi Yochanan did this for Rabbi Eliezer, he saw Rabbi Eliezer sick, and Rabbi Yochanan went into him and told him, "You want this suffering?" He said, "No." And the Gemara says he took his hand, he stood him up. The Gemara says, "Then why is it that when?" Not sorry, he did it for Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. What did you say?
No,
Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. I think it's whom he did it for. Rabbi Yochanan did it for Chiya Bar Abba, and the Gemara says Rabbi Chanina did it for Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, why did Rabbi Yochanan do it for himself? The Gemara says because he didn't have a shmata sefer sasurim. But here, Rabbi Yochanan is showing another reason as to why somebody had to ask him a question and he had to give an answer. We see that any time before a set of yisurim is inflicted upon a person, he's asked. I had a kasha, what about the big tzaddikim who are given yisurim? The answer is there. It's true. They're asked also, and they give an answer. However, their purpose in accepting Yisroel upon themselves is to be zeichet, to be mechapa for Bnei Yisroel. Certain things they know that without Yisroel it can't be done. As the Gemara itself says, Eretz Yisroel, Tayram, Chayram, Havel, it's impossible to get it without Yisroel. It must go through suffering. So certain things you know you have to have. Here we're talking about cases though where a person could avoid certain things if he watches his mouth.
That says that if it's not going to apply to the whole world again, the whole world together.
Exactly. No. It doesn't say if it applies to the whole world. Ki koydem kol gzar din shabbat. Anytime there is a gzar din within the world, they gather together the whole world to pass judgment. In other words, whenever there's a gzar din on any single individual, the whole world is asked to pass judgment on that individual. And not just the whole world, but even the person himself. That's what Rabbi Nizal is saying. You understand?
And if one of them doesn't agree, one doesn't agree?
No. Could be it's HaKoel HaLchan HaKharoi, HaKharoi Rab Lahatis. In other words, exactly how it works, we don't know. But factually, everybody is asked. People are constantly being asked to pass judgment on other people. And if you recall, he once mentioned that that's the Iker penalty in Lashon Hara. When we say that Lashon Hara, what's Lashon Hara? The Satan comes up to be Mekatre to say that this guy did a sin. Hashem says, jump in a lake, one witness is nothing. When a person tells Lashon Hara, he becomes the second half of a team of witnesses that could convict the person.
So someone has machlekes on him, they can put his gzar din on him. Person has people can tell him things about somebody, machlekes.
Yeah.
Is that put his gzar din on him? Is there all talking against the person?
Why?
Because you said that the Lashon Hara.
Could be the same. Is Lashon Hara machlekes? Lashon Hara means when it's true. When a person tells over something that a person did wrong, that's true. There it's a case where the Satan would come up and say, this guy did this and this wrong. Machlekes, a lot of times they make up lies about a person, period.
Even if the
There wasn't a clear example, though, of how it showed how an individual person, there wasn't
right.
An example of how the world...
No, which would obviously be a difficult thing to prove. But factually, Rabbi Nizal said he heard from the Baal Shem HaKadosh that this is what's done. And this is brought in a lot of Sifrei Musa. The fact that the whole world is asked to pass judgment.
Listen, let's say, The
question is, why is he talking bad about the person? Is it to notify other people to watch out for this person? If it's something like that, then it's not permissible, it's required. But if not, if the person is doing it just to get pleasure, to make himself look better, then he's not committed to the
right. What's the reason for this process? I mean, Hashem just judging the case?
Melech oyhev tzedoko u'mishpat. Mazel tov. Baby boy.
Mazel tov.
What were you saying? What the answer is?
Hashem can judge.
Right. The answer is Melech oyhev tzedoko u'mishpat. Hashem loves fairness, in a sense. And fairness, if you recall, there was something, when you learn about American history, Lahavlo, Kodesh Lechayel, or you know, any world history, one of the big things in all the constitutions of the world is trial by peers. That you're guaranteed in the constitution of this country, fair trial by peers. Peers means equals. Doesn't mean the fruit pear. It means P-E-E-R-S. Trial by equals. In other words, that if you commit any crime, you're going to be tried by a team of colleagues of yourself, period. And Kaviyachol, Hashem himself affords us that type of opportunity. To know that Hashem, Kaviyachol, who is so exalted, you would say, Kaviyachol, how is Hashem in a position to trial human beings if he's so different? The answer is, Kaviyachol, Hashem, in his infinite modesty,
allows the whole world to act as a court system, including the person himself. I'll let you be the judge, so there's no way for you to say that you were tried unfairly. You're going to be the one that pays judgment on yourself, not just you, but the whole world. Okay, we're up to Torah Kuf Yud Aleph. Rabbeinu Zalmeel says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, HaMechase Shomayim Bovim, HaMechin Loretz Motor. Hashem covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the world. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki toiv ma'oid mailas hatzadikim hagnuzim. It is a tremendous benefit and a tremendous accomplishment when a tzaddik is hidden. Shehein yechoylan lakabel shefa v'roiv toivo. They can draw shefa and a lot of good, lahamshech l'ha'olam, to send down to the world. Ve'enom she'alim aleihem, and nobody asks about them. Ve'enom mekatrigim aleihem, and nobody complains about them. No angels issue any complaints on it. Machmas she'en genuzin, ve'enom mefursamin. Because this tzaddik is hidden, and is not well known, it allows him, it affords him an opportunity, kaviyachol, to sneak around in heaven, and to be able to draw Shefa, to sneak out Shefa and bring it down to the world, to the Jews, without being asked too many questions about it, and without having too many complaints issued in heaven about it. Ach afilu mi. Now the question is, if that's the case, then the minute that Tzaddik becomes at all known, it's over, period. He can't draw any Shefa to the world, is that the case? Rabbi Nezal says, Ach afilu mi shehu mefursam. Even once a tzaddik's name becomes publicized, kisheyesh olav machlekes, when there is machlekes on the tzaddik, he toyeles lozeh. It helps this situation. Ki hamachlekes mechase olav. The machlekes against him covers him up. Vayidezeh yochel lahamshich shefa lahoilam. And through this, he can draw shefa to the world. And they won't complain against him, and they won't prevent him from doing it. This is Taicha the Posig, Hamechase Shomayim Bo'ovim. Rabbi Nezal says, Shomayim Hu Bechinas Hatzadik. Shomayim is another name for the Tzadik. Note that the Tzadik is which sphera? Yesoid, which is the Kolel of Zerampin. We mentioned many times, Bereshis Bora Elikim Es HaShemayim Vesoretz. Reshis is Chachma, Elikim is Bina, Shemayim is Zeranpin, the six spheres of Zeranpin, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yesod, Eretz is Malchus, the Eretz Mispeinu Malay, Shechon Eretz Rei Emuna. So we see that Shemayim is Zeranpin, which stands for the Tzaddik. Shemayim is the Tzaddik. Rabbi Nezal says, Al Shem Eish Umayim. Why is Shemayim the Tzaddik? Because the word Shemayim is actually a contraction of two words, Eish and Mayim. Hainu Ahavo V'Yira. The quality of love and fear, which another way of terming it is Chesed and Gvura, which is the basic divisions within Zeranpin. So that Shemayim is used to symbolize the Tzaddik who is Kolel both Ahavo and Yira. A tzaddik who serves Hashem with Ahav alone is not tzaddik. Tzaddik is only one who combines, who is the Yesod, into which funnels both Chesed and Gvura. He must be a conglomeration of Ahav and Yira. A person cannot say, it's physically impossible to say, I serve Hashem out of Ahav. That's not a possibility. It's only possible to serve Hashem when a person combines Ahav and Yira. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, that's Taich in the Pasuk HaBoicher, Bi'amo Yisrael, bi'ahavo. What's pshat? Ha'boicher, b'amo Yisrael, bi'ahavo. The word boicher, the Zohar HaKadosh says, is bigematria yira. When you have yira, and you have amo Yisrael, and you have ahavo, that's shleimus. What's the next thing? Shema Yisrael, Shema HaKadosh, Shema HaKadosh. The Kabbalas Oyel Malchus Shemayim, the Zohar HaKadosh says, before you mekabel the Oyel Malchus Shemayim, you must have ahavo and yira. This is why we say ha'boicher, Be'amo Yisrael, be'avo. First Yira, then Amo Yisrael, then Avo. That's a unit. That's v'amech kulan tzadikim, the Pasuk says. How is each Jew a tzadik? When he's zeichet to combine Becher with Avo, that's when he's a tzadik. Rabbi Nezal says now, v'al shem ze nikra ha'tzadik shamayim. This is why the tzadik many times in Sforim is called shamayim. V'zeh ha'mechase shamayim bo'ovim. Hashem covers up the shamayim with clouds. Miloshin uviyois vigashmius. Av means thick. Thickness and physicalness. Physical is an item that's thick. Shemechases hatzadik beuviyois vikashiyois shemakshin v'chelken alav. Hashem covers up the tzadik with a thick cloud, the cloud of the questions that people ask on the tzaddik. People are filled with all kinds of questions about him, and machlekes against him, they have complaints against him. This acts as a cloud to cover up the light of the tzaddik from being able to reach out to all the people in the world. And through the cover that's generated through this machlekes and through these questions, through that, hamechil oretz motor, k'alidezeh yuchal hamshich shefa b'li kitru kanal. That's what allows the tzaddik to be able to draw shefa to the world without complaint, without going through tremendous battles with the malachim. V'zeh, this is pshat, in the posik, tzeifeh rosh ol tzaddik. Umevakeish lahamisoi Hashem lo yaseh rabi yadayim. The posik says that a rosha looks at the tzaddik, he yearns at the tzaddik, yearns what? To do harm. Umevake shlami, so he wants to kill him. But Hashem lo yazvenu biyadai. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh tzeife roshol tzaddik. The word tzeife means to look. The word tzipui also means cover. Rabbi Nizal says, sheharosha shechelek al tzaddik, who rak tzeife. A rosha who argues against the tzaddik, he is only tzeife. Hainu tzipui vekisui al hatzadik, a cover over the tzaddik, kidei sheyuchal lahamshich shefa kanal, in order for the tzaddik to be able to draw shefa to the world. Ach, however, you know what? So this Russia, we should give him schar, we should give him Gan Eden. But the pasuk says, ach umevakeish lahamisoi. The problem is that the Russia wants to do too good a job. He wants to kill the tzaddik chas v'shalom. Sheharosha umevakeish lakor lahomis chas v'shalom is hatzaddik. The Russia wants to uproot and to kill the tzaddik. And on that, the pasuk says, Hashem lo yazvenu biyadai. Hashem does not let the tzaddik fall into the clutches of the Russia completely. He lets the Russia do his job as much as is necessary. And then Hashem fixes the Russia's wagon because he tried to do too good a job. For the extra credit work, that's where the Russia gets patched. Now take a look just for a second at Simon Reish Ches, Tera Reish Ches. You'll see Rabbeinu Zalveh mentions the same item in a slightly different wording. It's page 259 in the big Likud Imarans. Teva Reish Ches, Loshim Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal basically said on the post, Tzeifa Reish Al Atzadim Avarish Lamisai, Pirish Mashi Horishoim, Oysim Yisurim Latzadikim, Varoit Fenes Latzadikim, Zesibo Meis Hashem Yisborach. This that Rishoim inflicts suffering upon Tzadikim, and they chase them. In other words, they raidif them. This is a circumstance from Hashem. Kidei sheyizbeinein hatzadik v'yifash v'shmaisav. In order that the tzadik should be forced to think things over and to look over his deeds to see if he's done anything wrong to warrant redifas like this, to warrant suffering like this. Nimtza sheharosha hu kemay tzeife. That this, the Rosha, is like a guard. He protects the tzaddik. Kishemer ho'ir shenikrit seifa. The guards at the gate who stand with binoculars at the entrance of a city to look out to see if any enemy army is approaching, they are called seifim, seers. They look. Rabbi Nizal says the Rosha acts like a pair of binoculars for the tzaddik. He keeps the tzaddik in check. He keeps the tzaddik on the defensive constantly. Constantly the tzaddik is looking over his deeds to see if he's done anything to warrant this, so that the tzaddik is constantly in a process of tshuva. Kein ha-rosha hu shem as ha-tzaddik minivu b'gashmi. So just as a watchman watches a city, so too the rosha watches the tzaddik, so that the tzaddik shouldn't fall into the gashmis. Pirish acher, another interpretation, and note the wording that's going to be used here. Me'at. Me'at hamachlekes sheyesh al tzadikim, he toiv alehem, is beneficial to the tzadikim. Me'at hamachlekes, ki hamachlekes hi kemoim michselahem. The machlekes is like a covering for them. Shelo yizgalu v'yisparsamu b'yoyser mechdei hatzorach, so that the tzadik should not become revealed and publicized more than is necessary. That doesn't mean that a tzadik is required to stay completely hidden. The answer is yoyser mehatzorach. V'zeh pirush tzeifa rosh al tzaddik, tzeifa loshin michse, a cover. K'mo shekos v'zeh posuk says, v'tzipisa isay zohov, cover over the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash with gold. Aval elu harishoim marbim b'machlekes. But these rishoim, they go too far. They make too much machlekes. Marbim b'michsa. They try to make too good a covering over the tzaddik. Ad she'en kayach b'tzaddikim lizba machlekesim. To the point where the tzaddik can't take the machlekes. V'sinosam shel rishoim, and the hate of the rishoim. V'zehu mevakesh lahamisai. That the Russia wants to kill the tzaddik. What does this mean? K'moy she'mechasnes odo me'roishoi v'ad raglov. You picture a person who puts a plastic bag over a person and he covers him up from head to toe, to the point where the person isn't given the privilege of breathing anymore. Kain elu harishoim he mechasnu marbim b'tzipuyim b'machlekes v'mevakshel amisoi avov Hashem lo yazmena b'yadayim. But Hashem doesn't let the Russia succeed in his trying to stifle the tzaddik completely. But Rabbi Nizal does stress here definitely the fact that it is beneficial to the tzaddik, it is advantageous to a tzaddik to keep his light hidden to a degree, not to look for too much publicity, not to advertise on the radio that much and everything. Why? In order for the tzaddik to be able to accomplish what he has to accomplish. Because if he goes to public, chas v'shalom, he can bring a kitrug of the sultan upon himself, chas v'shalom, that could wipe out everything. This is the whole concept why the Tzaddik Emes is called Oyer HaNe'alam, a light which is hidden, which is supposed to stay hidden, in order so that those who want to come close to the Tzaddik don't have it easy. They have a difficult time. They have manias. There's machlekes, people talk against the Tzaddik, people talk against this Talmidim, against this Sforim, and those who have the brains, the Yishev Hadas, to think it over and to study the situation carefully and to see the greatness of the tzaddik and to be willing to break all the barriers to get through the mikhsa, those are the ones who are zeicha to become a kurav. And all those who get pushed aside, who get knocked out because of this mikhsa, they are meant to get knocked out. They're not worthy of coming close.
The only reason that the tzaddik would be to any extent not hidden would be to give people a chance to know about him, to come close.
Of course. But we see that even in that, it requires Oyer HaNe'alam, requires a degree of hiddenness. Go ahead.
Just one question on Rav Faisal. Was he considered hidden or not?
Very, very much so. Proof is, the Gemara says he had machlekes upon himself. You have the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gera, that there was a machlekes in the Gemara. There were three opinions. The Romans were building all kinds of bridges and everything. One Tana spoke up and said, wow, they're so good to us and everything, blah, blah, blah. They build bridges. They're such nice people, the government. Another Tana was silent, and Rabbi Shimon Yochanan spoke out, smashing. The best guy is
the
a dead guy. That's the only good guy, is a dead guy. Everything, and he spoke like that. And he said, they build these bridges only for themselves. For the Jews, they do nothing. They would never do a good thing for the Jews. And we find that the Gemara says that somehow somebody snitched on him. The word was publicized that Rabbi Shimon Yochanan spoke in this way, and it caused Rachman al-Sam caused him to have to go and tell, what bigger machlekes do you have than that? What bigger Oyer HaNe'alam do you have than the fact that this great tzaddik was forced to go into a cave for a period of 12 years? Seclusion, total seclusion. He was accessible to nobody. When the Gemara says that the Tanon and the Beis Medrash cried, they had questions that they needed answers to, and they didn't have access to Rabbi Shimon Yochanan. Until the Gemara says that one time, one of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi, sent a message through a pigeon. He sent a set of questions to Rabbi Shimon Yochanan in the cave, and Rabbi Shimon Yochanan replied. You see, he was definitely Oyer HaNe'alam. Just as the Arizal during his time was Oyer HaNe'alam. Just like the Baal Shem HaKodesh, just like Rabbi Nizal, just like Yosef HaTzadik, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a hidden tzaddik. Proof is that when it came to action, the majority was against him. With all his leading the whole nation through the Red Sea and everything, he was still a hidden tzaddik. There were very few who understood who Moshe Rabbeinu was, just like there are very few today who understand who Rabbeinu Zal is and who the tzaddik emes is there is. Yeah.
Can I just ask, this principle that's being said here, being extended to Klal Yisrael, it seems like pretty much the same thing.
Ki atem ama'at mikol ha'amim. You keep yourselves hidden, secluded. Hein am levodot yishkoim uvagoyim lo yischashim. They have machlekes. They're compared to a sheep surrounded by 70 wolves, enemies, machlekes. And that's what prevents people, good people from the nations of the goyim who would want to become a kurav. They can't because of the machlekes against the Jews. 100%. In other words, take this rule into your head, because this is the way, if you learn Rabbi Nizal's forum, especially in the Kufi Halachis, you see that Rabbi Nizal constantly shifts gears. That when we talk about the concept of tzaddik, on one hand we're talking about the tzaddik emes, on the second hand we're talking about tzaddikim, On a third hand, we're talking about the whole Jewish nation as a whole, which is classified as tzaddik. On a fourth hand, we're talking about Hashem, who the Gemara says is called tzaddik ha-shalom. The tzaddik of the world is Hashem. Tzaddik Hashem, b'chol d'lachov, right? You see the term tzaddik is even applied to Hashem.
It's classifying a publicized tzaddik. And when you say that requires the majority of Jewish people to recognize...
Excuse me?
What would classify a tzaddik as a man?
I don't know about majority. It means publicity, period. Publicity, bichlal, for a tzaddik, could do harm.
In each generation, there was a tzaddik, because 18 revealed tzaddik and 18 hidden tzaddik.
No, 36. A concept of 36 hidden tzaddikim. That's what's for. The Zohar Kodesh says that factually, in every single generation, there are a minimum of 72 tzaddikim. And the Zohar Kodesh says, we know that the tzaddik is called the heart of the... Which is the most important part of the body? The heart. Which is the melech, the king of the body, is the heart. The king is the one who sends out shefa to the whole world. Unto Ilona. The Mosei L'chula Bey, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the melech, you are the tree which gives shefa to everybody. The lev is the king which gives out blood, pumps blood to all the different parts of the body. Who is the king of the Jewish nation? Man Malki Rabbonon. The tzaddikim are referred to as the kings. They are the heart. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes a posik, Cholak Libom. Hashem has divided their heart. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Libom is 72. The Zohar Kodesh says, in every generation there are at least 72 tzaddikim, 36, what's cholak? 36 in Eretz Yisrael, and 36 in Chutz La'aretz. It's an interesting thing that many people aren't aware of. People talk about in every generation 36 tzaddikim, but to know that the Zohar Kodesh says that it's 36 and 36. No, the Zohar Kodesh doesn't mention it. But we see here, Rabbeinu Zal says, Bechlau, for a tzaddik generally, it's good to be nistar, and it's good to have a small degree of machlokes. So that even if he has some publicity, the publicity won't do harm. You understand? Because the Talmidim of the tzaddik are mechuyev to try to spread the name of the tzaddik throughout the world, to try to get him recognized and accepted, to try to bring people close to him. Question is, they're doing harm to him. The answer is Hashem resolves, counters the damage by the machlokes, by the questions.
There's been some numerous, I don't know how you can say that somebody got it tzaddik, when people got accepted, being accepted by Klal Yisrael, so they can go travel from this or vice versa. So, you know, permanently first. So, would you have to say that if there's 72 tzaddik in that for 36, if one goes one side, the other one has to go to the
I really don't know.
I think there's a question. If you want to tzaddik, you get to Israel, he can't come out.
But he's asking, once we know that this balance has to be maintained, there must be 36 tzaddikim chutzla, 36 tzaddikim Israel. What if one of them travels from one place to the other? Obviously Hashem is capable of working it out. But this is a fact that the Zohar Kodesh tells us, Cholak Libon. Libon is the 72 tzaddikim which are divided between Eretz Israel and chutzla. Baruch Hashem. Next. And you know, these Torahs that we're having now are all connected. This next Torah is very, very outstanding for a Breslov Chassid, or if anybody wants to be a religious Jew, this is an introduction to Yiddishkeit. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on the Pusik by Matan Torah, when the Jews were receiving the Torah from Hashem on Har Sinai. The Pusik says, Vayamoid ha'om me'rochoik, that the nation stood at a distance. Moshe Nigash Elhu Arufel, Moshe Rabbeinu approached the thick cloud, the dark cloud, Asher Shom Hoelikim, in which Hashem was contained. Rabbeinu Zal says, Kimi Shehu Hoelech Begashmias Kol Yomov, a person who has been going in Gashmias, who has been living a physical base type of life. And at one point in time, he becomes aroused, awakened, and he wants to serve Hashem, he wants to do tshuva, he wants to become a Baal tshuva. We're in El now, we're talking about Baal tshuva. Azai midas hadin mekatre golov. Rabbeinu Zal says the fact is that there is a midah of din in heaven that complains about this person. And this midas hadin does not allow the person to come close to Hashem. It sets itself up as a barrier, a wall, to prevent the person from succeeding. Why? Because the sun comes and says, oh, now you woke up? Where were you till now? Where were you till now? Suddenly, you wanted to live a whole life of harm, and suddenly you decide you want to be the most religious person in the world. Baloney, get lost. And the Sultan, who is the Midas Hadin, Rahman al-Islam, puts up barriers to prevent the person from coming close to Hashem. Umazmin loy meniya. And this Midas Hadin sets up barriers. However, Vahashem Yisborach chofetz chesedu. Hashem loves kindness. Umastir esatzmoy kaviyochol bahameniya hazois. Hashem hides himself within the meniya, within the barrier, within the wall. Hashem goes and hides within the wall itself. Ayin lamato, you'll see what we'll say soon, you'll understand. Umi shehu bardas. Rabbi Nizal says a person who has brains, who is intelligent, who mistakel bahameniya, he studies this barrier carefully. And he finds Hashem himself within the barrier. So the Yerushalmi, as is brought the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says, if a person ever asks you, where is Hashem? Tell him, you know where Hashem is? Even in the big city of Rome, in the Vatican City, even there you could find Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Eli Kore mi Seir. Hashem calls out to me from Seir. Seir is the mountain of Esav. Even from there, I hear the voice of Hashem. I know that Hashem is found even there. Rabbi Nizal says, Umi she'eloi bardas, and a person who is stupid, Kisheroya hamaniya, when he sees the barrier, Chazer taketh lakchirov. He turns around, he turns back, no deal. They don't want to accept me, then fine, then I'll go back to what I was doing. Too bad on Hashem, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nizal says, Umeniyo hu bechinas onon va'arofel. This concept of a barrier is a concept of a cloud. A cloud, arofel, is a thick type of cloud. Ki onon va'arofel haynu chayshech, because a cloud is an item of darkness. The word chayshech means darkness. The word lachsaych means to be meinea, to hold back. Rabbi Nizal says, Chayshech hu lashon meniya. The word chayshech means to hold back, meniya, a barrier. Kama shekosu, as the Pasuk says, V'loi chosachto ez binuch es yichidcho. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, because you did not hold back your child from me, because you were willing to give him, to present him, you didn't hold him back, that's why I'm going to bless you and everything. So we see that this, the concept of darkness is a concept of minia. Onon is a minia. Cloud. Arafel is a concept of minia. Chayshech, chaysech. Chaysech shiftoi sayin ibanoi. A person who spare the rod, spoil the child. A person who holds back the stick, he refrains from hitting his child. Chas v'shalom, he kills the child. V'zeh pirush ha-posuk. Rabbi Nizal says, this is the interpretation of this posuk. Vayamoid ha'om me'rochoik. The general populace stood at a distance. Kikisheroyin ho'arofel, because when regular people see this dark cloud, hainu hamaniya kanal, they see this barrier, oimdim me'rochoik, they stand at a distance, they're chicken. They're afraid to go up against this barrier, to smash through it, in order to get to the Kiddush, in order to get close to Hashem. Oh, Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu, shehu bechinois das kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the concept of the collective wisdom of the whole Jewish nation, migash elhu arofel. He approached the arofel, asher shom hu elikim. Hainu el hameniya. He approached the meniya, shebo biatzmo nistar Hashem Yisborach, in which, in it itself, was contained Hashem. And I mentioned once that if you study the word ha'arofel itself is bigimatria shechina, exactly. Showing that we see that within the dark cloud, within the meniya, is found Hashem himself. Rav Nosson Zal writes, oin shamanu bozeh mipiv ha'kodesh. We also heard from Rabbi Nizal's holy mouth, Shehisif Levayer Hoinin Hanal, that Rabbi Nizal broadened his explanation of this topic, Masha Hashem Yisborach Biatzmoy Master Asatzmoy Mesoy Chamaniya Kanal, this concept that Hashem hides himself within the Meniyah, as we said before, the Omar, and Rabbi Nizal said, Ki Hashem Yisborach Oyhev Mishpot, Hashem loves to be fair. Hashem, Kaviyocha, we make a bracha every single day, Melech Oyetz Doko Mishpot, that as much as Hashem loves the Jews, and Hashem loves potatoes, and Hashem, Hashem loves fairness. Hashem is a judge. He's a judge, and a judge loves fairness. Vegam hu oyhev Yisrael. And Hashem is also oyhev amo Yisrael. Hashem loves the Jewish nation. So now, what do you do when these two items are in conflict? You love the Jew, and you love fairness. What if fairness dictates to be harsh against the Jew? What do you do then? How do you work? How does Hashem work it out? Rabbi Nazal says, "Ach ahavosoi shehu oyeves Yisrael, he gedoylo yoiser meho avo shehu oyeves hamishpat." The love that Hashem has for the Jews surpasses the love that Hashem has for mishpat. This is a fact. And Rabbi Nazal quotes, Rabbi Nazal brings the Mechilta and Parshas Beshalach on the pasuk Vahayosh Rabbeinu Taase. The Ramban says the fact that Hashem, as much as he loves fairness, he still loves Bnei Yisrael more. That's his concept of Yosher, which is greater than the love that Hashem has for Mishpat. Rabbi Nazal says now, "Val Kain, and therefore, Kishahamina Sadin Mekatreg al Mishena Roy Leskav Hashem Yisborach." When the Midas Hadin complains about one who is not worthy of coming close to Hashem, Livli Lahani Choy Lichnois Laderach Hachayim, and the Sotan wants to prevent this person from coming close to the path of life, Lehiskarev La Tzadik Emes, to come close to the Tzadik Emes, Ule Derech Emes, or to the path of Emes, but so Hashem Yisborach Oyev Mishpat. Because of the fact that Hashem loves fairness, Al Kain Hu Yisborach Muchrach Kaviyachel, therefore Hashem is obligated Lahaskim to agree, Lahazmin Loimaniyos to agree to set up barriers, Lamoinoi Miderach Hachaim to prevent this person from coming close to the path of life, Kifi Horoi Loi Lefimas of Horoim Al Pidino Vamishpot, as is coming to this person because he did sins. And because he did acts against Hashem, it warrants a certain penalty. It warrants that he should not be allowed to come into the king just easily without any problem. It warrants that it should be made difficult to him. And because Hashem is committed to Mishpat, therefore Hashem kaviyachel is muchrach, is obligated, is forced to have to go through with this, to have to allow the Midas Adin to set up these barriers. Ki hu yisporach eino yochel lidchoises Adin, because Hashem cannot just push the Din aside. Ki hu yisporach oyev Mishpat kanal, because Hashem loves Mishpat. Ach me'achar shebe'emes hu yisporach oyev Yisrael, but because Hashem in truth loves the Jews, v'oisei ho'avo shel Yisrael, hi gedoy lo yoiser me'avo shel Mishpat kanal, and the love that Hashem has for Bnei Yisrael surpasses his love for Mishpat. Ma oisei Hashem yisporach, what does Hashem do? Ki hu muchrach kaviyochel ha'asmo ha'mini'os, he's obligated to agree with these mini'os, with these barriers, to prevent the person from coming close to the emes, machmas hadin va'mishpat sholov, because of the judgment on this person, ki hu oyev mishpat kanal, because Hashem loves mishpat, aval afal pikein be'emes la'amitoi retzoinoi v'cheftzoi yisborach, she'afal pikein yiskarev hodam elav yisborach. But still, regardless of how bad this person wants, Hashem's innermost desire is to have this person come close anyway. With all the sins that he committed, Hashem still wants him to come close. Because Hashem loves every Jew more than he loves Mishpat. Therefore, how does Hashem handle the situation? Hashem gives the Satan permission to set up these barriers. Aval hu yisporach bi'atzmoi masdir es atzmoi kaviyochel b'seich ha'mini'os. And Hashem kaviyochel hides himself within the mini'os. Umi shehu bardas yochel limtzoi es Hashem yisporach b'seich ha'mini'os b'atzmon. And one who has brains, one who has seichel, can find Hashem within the mini'os themselves. Ki be'emes ein shum meniyah ba'ilam klal, because Hashem says, in honesty and truth, there isn't a single barrier in the world to prevent a person from coming close to Hashem. Ki betoikev ha'meniyahs ba'atzmon nistar Hashem yisborach, because within the thickest of darknesses, Hashem is found even there. Hashem is found even in the Vatican City. If a person would find himself on that low level, he could even find Hashem accessible over there. And it's within the menias themselves that a person can come close to Hashem. Kishom nistar hu yisborach kanal, because there itself Hashem is hidden. Vezehu, this is the side of Moshe Nigashel HaRofel, Shehi HaManiyah. Moshe Rabbeinu was not afraid to approach the Maniyah, to approach the darkness, to go through the Arida, Asher Shom Ho'elikim, because he knew that that's where Hashem was to be found. He knew that the only way to get to Hashem is by willing to go through this period of blackness, this period of Yerida, this difficulty, this insult, these bizyonos and everything. That's the only way to be able to come close to Hashem. One interesting item, I mentioned now that the word Ho'arofel is Begematria Shechina exactly. We know that one of the names of the Shechina HaGdesha is Shoshana. The word Shoshana is a rose. The Pasuk says in Shira Shirim that Kishoshana Bein HaChaychim Kein Rayasi Bein HaBonu is the Jewish nation Knesset Yisrael, which is another name for the Shechina. If you look in the Zohar Kodesh calls the Shechina many times Knesset Yisrael. The Jewish nation is called a rose, like a rose among the thorns. The Zohar Kodesh says that the word Shoshana is Begematria Esther. Esther exactly. Esther is one of the names of the Shechina HaKdesha. So we see clearly another example where the Shechina itself is called Esther Miloshin Haster Haster, hidden. That Hashem Kaviyachal himself, just like the light of the Tzaddik is hidden, Kaviyachal Hashem himself many times hides himself in order for these two to be able to live simultaneously, the Oyhev Amo Yisrael and the Oyhev Tztoko Mishpat, to be able to live together, and for there to be fairness and Ahas Yisrael at the same time, so that when a person finally succeeds in breaking through, his Iskarmus is a real one. Otherwise, the Sultan could say, this is ridiculous. The guy does 50 billion sins, and he comes and says, I'm sorry, he gets let in without any problem. Then it's a joke. You didn't have to create a world. We know that one of the most significant reasons for Hashem creating this world was Bechira, free choice. Where's the free choice if you can go out and break all the laws of the Torah and then come in without any problem at all, without any difficulty? It becomes a joke. Then the whole coming close to Hashem is a joke. But if it's done in this manner, where there are barriers set up, where you can't come back easily, it's difficult. And there's blackness, there's a thick cloud preventing you, and you're forced to go into the cloud. But you are given some assistance in the fact that Hashem himself cloaks himself within the cloud. Then it's already conceivable for the person to break through, and yet the Satan can't say that it was a joke. The whole thing was a joke.
Yeah, that's so nice that I seems to me that you have to mean it in what's being said here, asking how a person approaches a barrier, you know? I mean, like, for example, you find something with Monet, you're from your above system, you could be a keyboard type and say, I'm going to, you know, this sort of thing. It seems that that isn't what's being said here, that there's more of a subtlety. I don't really understand what.
The answer is, Lamaisa, what Rabbi Nazal is saying here is that when a person wants to come close to Hashem, especially about Shiva, he's going to find that there are obstacles set up in his path. By one person, his obstacle is in the form of a parent. By one person, his obstacle is in the form of questions that he has on the Torah. In other words, he has respect for the Torah, but he looks at it, he finds questions, things that don't jive. By another person, it's questions that he has on the Tzaddik Emes, or on the Tzaddikim. He has questions, he sees things that look wrong to him, and yet I know that this one is a kosher person, but this item, it makes it difficult for me to come close to him, to attach myself to him. All of these items, to each person, these barriers come in different manners. And if you'll study the world as a whole, there are many people, thousands, hundreds of thousands, who at one point in life, or at 50 points in life, they have charata, they have a hero tshuva, and they say they're going to become more religious. But then the minute they come up against the tiniest obstacle, the tiniest question, or the tiniest difficulty, right away they say they get turned off, or whatever terminology they use, and they back off. And Rabbi Nazal is saying in this time, he's giving advice, he's giving chizuk. I want you to know that this is the way it is in coming close to Hashem. There is this dark cloud. It's never an easy thing. It's not the kind of thing where you see an obvious light and you just go over it to it and you draw from it and that's it. In coming close to Hashem, the first thing you see is darkness. The first thing you see is Choshech. The first attitude that Hashem displays to you is Hisrachus. But if you're capable of using Seichel and weathering those difficulties and still pursuing your objective of getting close to Hashem, you're going to find that you're going to find Hashem within the obstacle, and you're going to be able to come close to Hashem.
Yeah, I don't understand, and it's hard to express. It's just, you know, like one approach to a barrier is just going to run over it. You know, yeah. You're going to 100 miles an hour, you know, yeah. Whatever. It seems here, what I get the feeling that maybe I'm wrong, the feeling is that's not, it seems like more of you step back and take a look at things. You know, it's not that you're just going to overcome whatever you're
it says he stood, step back. That's what it says, my Shabbat, step back. It says, Omay Sheninga Shevarofa.
So it is a Guru Dixan, because you should go into high gear and smash through it.
100%.
And what does it mean that Hashem is Nimsa in the barrier itself? It seems like you're going to...
I'll tell you exactly what it means. The Gemara says in Yuma that when a person is Zeichet to Tshuva Me'avo, what happens? His sins get converted to Mitzvahs. Rav Nosson says, you know what this means in technical terms? That a person coming close to Hashem is going to find that he has Yeridas. What does the Yerida mean? Yerida means that he goes through a week or two where he doesn't daven. He doesn't have his Spedidus. Or Chas V'Shalom, he goes, another person, his Yerida is he goes into a non-kosher restaurant and he eats there. Another person, his Yerida is that he doesn't put on full in Chas V'Shalom. In other words, in the process of becoming a Baal Tshuva, he goes through ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Now the question is, what attitude are we supposed to take? Is it that the up is Hashem and the down is the Satan, it's Tamei? Or is it that they're both Hashem, that the Yerida and the Aliyah are Hashem? And Rabbeinu Zal here is saying very clearly that both are Hashem, because when a person is Zeicher to persist and to go after his goal, what happens is that all of those Yeridas, all the sins that he did along the way, get converted to Mitzvahs, which means that if he did 38 sins instead of 39, he lost out. Each and every, in other words, we don't mean necessarily in physical terms, each and every bit of suffering that he went through is part of Hashem. It's added on to the Kedusha. And Rabbi Nisal quotes a pasuk in one place, Bayoyim Havu, Yevukash Avon Yisrael Ve'einenu. There's going to come a time when they're going to search for the sins of the Jews, they're not going to find them. Rabbi Nisal says, what do you mean they're going to search? Who goes searching for sins? If anything, you go cover them up. What's Pshat? Search for sins. Because the Yidna are going to be Zeichet to the Madrigo, Tshuva Me'avo, where every sin gets converted to a mitzvah, which means that a sin is worth $1 million, $800,000. Then we're going to want to go looking, we're going to want to find more sins, because each and every sin, each and every bit of the Arafel is going to be precious. Each and every Yerida that the Jews went through is going to be precious. That's what Rabbi Nisal is saying here. Elho Arafel, Asher Shom Walekin, that within the Yerida is found Hashem also. The whole concept of Elul, Boki Barotzi, Boki B'Shoev, that Rotzi is Hashem, and Shoev is also Hashem. The return is also Hashem. The coming down is also Hashem. Both are part of the first Hashem.
Like I read in Shabbos Nevesh, where Ben Azal says that a person in this world will never know his true position in this world, that he has to use Emunah Shleima, and that's the reason for free choice. And the only thing is, he has to have confidence in himself. We'll never know 100%
Rav Nosson Zal, Likutei Halachos, uses that to explain a Gemara Megillah, where the Gemara says, Yogato Motzasa Tamen. The Gemara says, Lo Yogato Motzasa Al Tamen. Yogato V'Lo Motzasa Al Tamen. If a person says that I didn't work, and I succeeded, the Gemara says, don't believe him. Baloney, it's not success. He thinks it's success, it's not success. If a person says, I worked, and I didn't succeed, don't believe him, he didn't work. The Gemara says, if a person says, I worked, and I succeeded, believe him. Rav Nosson Zal says, Likutei Halachos, if he says he worked, and he succeeded, what's to believe? Take a look, and you'll see his success. Where's the belief? Rav Nosson Zal says that this is talking, the Gemara is not talking about working in a factory. Yogato means Yegiya Batayra, Yegiya Avodas Hashem. The Gemara says, if a person works in Avodas Hashem, and he succeeds, Tamin, he's going to have to trust that he succeeded. Because most of the time, to the person himself, it appears that he didn't succeed. It appears like he had come... Miriam, quiet! It appears the Satan paints a picture for the person, whereby it looks like I'm trying so hard to come close to Hashem, and nothing, I'm back to where... Each time I go up a level, I fall down 5 levels. And the person doesn't realize that it's a chain reaction, where he's constantly going down and up, and each time he goes up to higher...